Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and as always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We've been teaching now for quite some time from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We are getting a tremendous amount of response from people because, as we all know, our flesh is our greatest enemy of all. Yes, Satan works through the flesh. God works through the Spirit. The Holy Ghost works through our Spirit. And if our flesh is not crucified, well then, Satan wins the victory. Several announcements. Sunday, April the 15th, Prosperity Church of God, 311 North Main Street, Prosperity, South Carolina, 29127. I'll be there Sunday morning only. I would encourage you to get there about a quarter till 11. They're going to be serving dinner there, my understanding, after the service. But I'm going to be there teaching on the importance, the significance of Israel to Christianity. Matter of fact, I've decided to go ahead and do a DVD series on that. We're in the process of getting a booklet designed and put together so that you understand the significance of Israel and Christianity. Yes, I know they're right now backslid. They're away from God. But I don't know why people seem to forget God's covenant with Abraham. It's like you don't read the book of Genesis. You just start in Exodus with the law and the Moses and their rebellion and their blindness and their hardness and callousness of heart and deaf ears. That was not Abraham. Abraham obeyed. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you were Abraham's seed, you would not seek to kill me, but you would do Abraham's works. As I said before, you don't understand because you don't understand the significance of the Ishmaelites. Because Abraham fathered Ishmael, therefore they were Abraham's seed, but they were not the promised seed. The promised seed. That's what people don't seem to grasp or understand, for they are not all Israel. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Romans 9 and 7. So we're doing this DVD series. It'll be a little over 2 hours. Four subjects. The covenant with Abraham. The significance of the word of God, how God gave it to the Jewish people. The other one is the significance of Jerusalem. It is the only city in the world where God put his name over it. And fourthly, this one every anti-Semitic hates, even Christians. I know Christians who hate this verse. John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. That just blisters some people. But I'm not in the blistering business. That's what the word of God does. It will blister you profusely. But it is the seed, and Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we're going to be there that Sunday morning, one service only. Sunday, April the 15th, 2018. You could remember that IRS day. Sunday, April the 15th, 2018, Prosperity Church of God, 311 North Main Street, Prosperity, South Carolina, 29127. Then, the programs that we recorded with Brother Irvin Baxter will be on TBN, April the 13th, April the 20th. April the 13th, April the 20th, 9:30 p.m. Also will be on Daystar, April the 15th, April the 22nd at 11:30 p.m. Those are the same programs. They're just on different networks. Hopefully, you'll be able to see those broadcasts, how that Brother Baxter and I talked about the fallacy, the error of the pre-tribulation rapture. And I do covet your prayers with them. The UPC denomination, I will never join another denomination, but I am asking God to allow me to work with other denominations. The gospel must be preached. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. And any venue that God would seek to use me, I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, even if the Roman Catholic Church would suffer me to preach the gospel in their cathedrals, I'd do it. Why? Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the commandment. As most of you well know, I am an evangelist. I am an evangelist. I pastored only because I was raising my family. I quit traveling. But I think you understand, especially if you've ever had the opportunity to be with me in a church-type service, I am an evangelist. It's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And God gave me that gift. I don't say that arrogantly. I do not say that with bigotry or self-serving or self-accolades or whatever the word you want to use. I don't say that for that purpose. I just know I am an evangelist. It's like Brother Tom Watkins. He is a carpenter. You can't refute some things. You can't argue some things. You just can't do it. You know, I have another dear brother. Brother Jay is an attorney, an accountant. You can't argue these things. You just can't argue them. That's what you are. I am what I am by the grace of God. And we are very humbled that God would gift us with that ministry gift of evangelism. Before we get back into Romans chapter 8, verse 10, I've come to love this song. You've heard me play it a couple times. It's entitled, Somebody Died for Me. Listen to the words. I believe it'll speak to your heart again today in a very, very special way.
He was a troubled kid, in and out of jail. When his daddy said, this is the last time I'll pay bail. So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape. But he said that's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I live or be the way I was. Every day somebody died for me. Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star as the grieving mother leans against his arm. That way.
somebody died for me. And somebody, my friend, died for you. When you and I, neither one, were worthy. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 8. But God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody died for me. I was on the phone this morning. Brother Watkins and he and I were talking. Why does God hate sin? He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. When he beheld the brutality, the marring, the mutilating, the tearing of his son's flesh, the crown of thorns pressed into his skull, and the flesh was rent and pulled away from his head. And his eyes were swollen shut from the beating. And his lips were turned inside out. All of that was placed on his son for sin, to pay sin's debt. Don't ever think God does not hate sin. He loves the sinner. You've heard that said, but he hates the sin. But I want you to understand why he hates the sin so horribly. Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Because that wickedness is sin. And sin's debt has been paid for. Sin's debt has been paid for. And when men sin, that sin is a reminder to God of the debt that Jesus paid for your sins. We fail to remember that. Somebody died for you. I have a prayer request. I ask you to remember my wife's mother. She's fallen again. She broke a bone in her back this time. Last time she broke her arm and she really bruised her face terribly. And she's been with her Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Today's Tuesday. Just pray for her. I've told her to spend all the time she wants to with her mother. I think it's important. She lost her dad when she was, 21, 22. We'd been married just several years when her father had a massive heart attack and died. So I pick at her and I tell her I'm mainly the only dad she's ever had. But do remember my wife. I remember her mother. I was laying in bed last night alone, praying, crying, weeping. How merciful. How merciful a God that we serve. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe you're not living like you ought to live right now. Those are somebody I'm speaking to right now. You're not living right. The Holy Spirit says you're half in, you're half out. You're like a half-baked cake. You're not worth anything right now. Because you're not in, you're not out. You want to serve the Lord, but because of your sins, you can't wholly commit your life to Christ, and you're betwixt. You want things to get better in your heart. You want things to get better in your life. But I'm here to tell you, friend, they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse until you turn loose of this world and you get a hold of God. You get a hold of the hem of his garment. that woman that had the issue of blood. She said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. If you can just touch Jesus in the Spirit, your life will be changed. Someone the other day said, I've been listening to you for years, I think 5, 7, 8 years, never heard from them before, but they finally reached out. They reached out to me. So many of you listen every week. When I say reach out to me, I don't mean with a piece of money. Reach out to the gospel that I preach. Somebody's paying for you to hear the gospel. That's why you never hear me talk about money. I'll never ask for money. If I ask for money, turn me off. I'm not a hireling. I'm not for hire. You don't buy me. You don't own me. I'm a servant of the Lord. You give to him, and I put it back in ministry. The time that I spend studying, praying, fasting, preparing sermons, then we have to record them, download them, upload them, whatever the technology is. The work that we do is 80, 90 hours a week. And that doesn't count all the bills. If I had to be compensated for how much time I put in ministry, it would be more than you would imagine. But again, don't reach out to me with a piece of money. Reach out to me because of the gospel, the Savior that I preach, that can save you from your sins, that can save you from a devil's hell, that can save you from being lost. That's who you reach out to. If I preach Jesus, and Jesus is lifted up, he said, I will draw all men to me. We've got to get in the Holy Ghost. We've got to walk in the Spirit of God. We've got to get out of the flesh. We've got to get out of our carnality. Our carnality is going to damn us. Our carnality is going to separate us. It's going to sever us. Our carnality is what's destroying us. It's not your spirit that's destroying you. It's your carnality. It's your flesh that's destroying you. And the older you get and the longer you stay lost without God, the greater the chances of you coming to Christ grow shorter every day you live. It's a known fact. Few men, few women ever come to know Jesus when they passed 70 years of age. Few. Why? Their hearts are so hard. Their hearts are so calloused. When I hear an older gentleman, I shouldn't say gentleman, I hear an older man curse, swear, say things. I'm like, sir, don't you realize how close you are to eternity? How close you are going out into eternity without God? How close. My wife occasionally we'll visit an elderly lady. She's in her 80s. My wife will bring a little boom box, put a CD in it, play a song and sing for her. The lady that sits with her told my wife the other day she got mad, and she's in her 80s now. She used every four-letter word. She was taking God's name in vain, doing all of this ungodly stuff. Her days are literally numbered. I know a lady who is a hospice nurse, sits with dying people. She said, I finally quit. I couldn't stand it anymore. To watch sinner people die and go out into eternity without God. When that's your job and you watch people die every day, it begins to affect you. I have no idea why I'm going this direction today, but I tell you who knows why. The Holy Ghost knows why. The Holy Ghost knows why. Our nation, yes, we got a president, and he's trying to do what's right, but we're still in grave, grave, grave danger, my friend. You listen to me. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. 2 Chronicles 21:1 says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. David was God's man. David was God's anointed. David was God's choice. But the devil provoked him, and he did what he should not have done. Don't you think the devil cannot provoke Donald Trump and Donald Trump do something he should not do? That cost all of us. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I feel in the spirit. And I must admit, if I was being castigated and impinged and criticized every living day of my life, as Donald Trump is being castigated, I too could be provoked. I too could do something that I have no business doing. Yes, I could. If I said 2 Chronicles 21:1, I'm sorry, it's 1 Chronicles 21:1. David sinned when the devil provoked him. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. David said, I have done very foolishly. And the seer, the prophet, was Gad. Go tell David, thus saith the Lord, you will either have 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, or the angel of the Lord will begin destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. David said, I'm still in a strait. But let me fall into the hands of God, because God will be merciful. Don't let me fall into the hands of a man. Let me fall into the hands of God. God slew 70,000 men. 70,000 men. And David wept and David cried. And said, God, this is my fault. It's not their fault. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. Because I feel like in my spirit, Donald Trump may fire Robert Mueller, however you want to pronounce the idiot's name. They're all corrupt. Satan will provoke men to do the very thing they should not do. 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. There may be a provocation in the working through the powers of darkness. Even a godly man can sin. Do you hear me? Even a godly man can sin. David sinned. Why? Because the devil provoked him. The devil can provoke you. He can provoke me. We get distressed. I want you to think about the thorn in Donald Trump's life every day, lies and castigation and this and that. After a while, a man wears down. Before Bill Clinton was impeached, he's firing cruise missiles at an aspirin factory over in the Middle East. We have no idea of the spiritual warfare that is taking place in America right now. The very soul of this nation is at stake. The very soul of America. We may not have much longer in our reprieve until something disastrously happens. Thank God for us that fasted and prayed in January. Thank God. See, we know how they have colluded. These alphabet agencies have colluded to have a plan in place to destroy the president if he were elected president. And yet we see all the vile and the wicked chicanery that's going on, and that's not being dealt with. They're not dealing with the real crimes. They're not dealing with the real sin, the real lying, the real collusion, collaboration. They're not dealing with the real issues. God help us. When God allows the enemy to hammer us, we're going to be so terribly hammered it will beg description. And I can say with a pure heart, I can understand why Donald Trump would fire this special counsel of Mueller. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. Let me tell you something. A man can only endure so much in his humanity. Instead of responding, he'll start reacting. I'm telling you, I have real consternation. I'm disturbed. But I told you months and months ago, out of Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah chapter 45, go back and watch the videos I posted. A revelation to a nation and time disposal. He said to Trump, Isaiah 45:3, Cyrus, Trump is a type of Cyrus. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I told you he would reveal these things. They would come out, because I knew when God showed me that it wasn't money, it wasn't treasures, it wasn't gold, it wasn't silver, it wasn't valuables. It was dark, treacherous secrets, secret things. And then when that train hit that garbage truck called time disposal, that was the 17th day of my fast. The 17th day of my fast. And when I saw that, it was just like my mind exploded with all of this information, this sudden download of what all of that meant. The trash, the filth that they have done and hidden and believed they had concealed was scattered as debris. And not one car rail or not one car derailed in that accident. But I'm telling you, Satan is angry. And he's going to pull a pin from a grenade and throw it in our midst, and we're going to have a terrible explosion. We're going to have something explode that's going to be off the charts. Let me tell you, I shared this some time ago. I don't remember how, when. I should say I don't remember when, not how. But some time ago, I shared with you how I saw when God kicks Satan out of heaven, he confines him to the earth. He arrests him. Satan cannot go anywhere but on the earth. He can no longer go into the heavenlies and go to the throne of God and approach us because he's been kicked out. And Revelation 12 and 13 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, Jesus. He's going after Israel. But he saw he was cast to the earth. He's like chained. Not chained in the bottomless pit in Revelation 20, but he's confined to the earth. That's what the Great Tribulation is. This is a dangerous, 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 dangerous time. Whatever you're doing in your life that is not right, stop it, quit it right now in Jesus' name. Get on your knees, get right with God. Walk the walk, talk the talk. There's something lurking. There's something seething. There's something boiling. We're at 211 degrees. One more degree, we're going to start boiling. Keep the temperature at 211 and it won't boil. But move it one more degree and it starts boiling. That's how close we are. Let me go to Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Our bodies are to be dead to sin. Our bodies are to be dead to sin. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Romans 8 and 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. This is what Jesus meant. I've shared this with you before. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 14, verse 30. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There was nothing in Jesus that Satan could appeal to cause him to fail on his way to the cross. Nothing. Nothing was in him. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Because there was no sin in Jesus, there was nothing for Satan to appeal to. You've heard me preach this and teach this. I do not teach, I do not preach, I do not believe in sinless perfection. Your body is still corrupt. Your body is still corrupt. Don't underestimate the corruptness. But you're trying to keep the body sanctified. You're trying to keep the body dead. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. The spirit or the presence of God in your life demands righteousness or demands that you always do the right thing. Righteousness is demanded because it will stand the judgment of God. Everything else, when it comes to God's judgment, it will fail. It will fail. Let me go on. I'm just reiterating some of the things I did last program. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You've got to be dead in the flesh so the spirit of Christ can be alive in your spirit and then your flesh that you live, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Now my flesh is dead, but yet it is alive because I'm breathing, but I now live it in faith. My fixation is now in faith, in the Word, faith in Christ. Faith he will guide me. Faith he will lead me. Faith he will keep me. Faith he will preserve me. Faith that he will not let me down. Yes, your flesh must be dead to the inordinate affections, those affections that you know are not good, wholesome, and godly. Stopping those. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. In the resurrection, the Holy Ghost is going to quicken you if you're dead. If you're alive, he's going to quicken you. If your body's dead and in the ground, the Holy Ghost is going to quicken that body and raise it up out of the soil. It was buried corruptible, it'll be raised incorruptible. It was buried in mortality, it'll be raised in immortality. Now let me pick it up in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are debtors to what Jesus did on the cross. I'm not a debtor to my flesh will always want to keep me in debt. Let me say it like that. My flesh will always try to keep me in debt, whether it keeps me in debt through cigarettes, through alcohol, through pornography, through lust, through greed, through lying, through cheating. My flesh will always try to keep me in debt. We want the flesh dead. So what am I indebted to? The work that Jesus did on the cross. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Well, what kind of a debt do I owe? You can't pay the debt. You can't satisfy the debt. But that's why you owe everything to Jesus Christ. You owe him. Paul said it like this in Romans 1 and 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm a debtor, he said. Paul said we're debtors. Debtors to what? Don't ever be a debtor to sin, a slave to sin, a slave to iniquity. Be a debtor to Christ and the work he did on the cross. In other words, be thankful. You be continually in debt, in thankfulness for what Jesus did on the cross. Be in debt like this. I didn't praise God enough today. I didn't thank God enough today. I didn't worship God enough today. That's the kind of debt that Paul's talking about. And his life was so in debt, he said, I'm going to preach to the wise, to the unwise. I'm going to preach to the Greeks. I'm going to preach to the barbarians. I'm going to preach to the heathens. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm in debt to Jesus. I'm not a debtor. I'm not a slave to sin, but I owe a debt because of what Christ did for me. Look at it again closely. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you are a debtor to alcohol, you'll buy more alcohol and your body will crave alcohol. If you're a fornicator, your body will crave fornication. Your body will crave and be a debtor to an illicit relationship. That's not what you're to be a debtor to. You are indebted to the work of Calvary. Verse 13. Look at this with me closely, please. Verse 13, this is powerful. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify, the word mortify, if by the Spirit you crucify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now remember, I am preaching on no condemnation and why. This is why this whole series is what this whole series is about. This is the 10th program, and it'll probably end up being 25 programs if I'm not careful. I don't want to lose you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to live right. I'm trying to help you to live godly. Maybe you don't get but one part of living right a month. But you keep living month after month after month, you'll find your whole self, your whole body, your whole spirit, body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I used that the other day. Your whole body, your whole spirit, your whole soul might be presented to Christ. How? Blameless. How in the world can my life be presented to Christ blameless? By living in the spirit and not in the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. I told a gentleman on the phone just the other morning, you're going to have to sever, you're going to have to cut ties. I said, go back and read Ezra chapters 9 and 10, how the Israelis married the heathen pagan women and they had children. And Ezra said, you're going to have to leave them. You're going to have to leave them behind. Because they will do nothing but destroy your life. They will destroy everything about you. Friend, your flesh will do nothing but destroy you. I would to God I could get this in your spirit to the degree you would understand the power of the flesh. It destroys, it mutilates, it mars, it eviscerates, it'll damn you, it'll render you helpless and hopeless, and it'll rip you apart, it'll shred you like a paper shredder. It is so ugly. Sin is so ugly. They had to separate themselves from the people, and the Bible said from the strange wives. Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do this pleasure, and separate yourself from the people of the land and from the strange wives. God didn't want that. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. If people could just understand, just like I said a few minutes ago, and I can't get away from this thought, the provocation, I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit, the devil is going to try to provoke Donald Trump to do something that in the natural and human wisdom, human understanding, he should not do it. And if he does do it, all it will do will convolute matters even worse. Far, far worse. And it will bring and make the evangelical community, it'll make us Christians look like idiots. And then some of the professing Christians that have been bombarding him right on, I could name names and call names. These people who have lambasted, castigated, wrote their little rotten articles. They've got on their little Blog Talk Radio and spewed their filth about Donald Trump. They're of their father the devil, and they're going to keep doing that. But God has put the man in office. He says in his word, I raise them up and I pull them down. But that does not negate the fact that the devil cannot provoke the man. David was a man after God's own heart, but the devil provoked him. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you will not understand what I'm saying today. As I said, I laid in bed last night and I wept and I cried myself to sleep. Like David, I soaked my pillow with tears. I'm not a fool. My hair is turning whiter by the day. You get a hoary head, Solomon said, you get wisdom, you get understanding, you can see things a little more clearly. I know in my spirit, hell is seething. Hell is seething to create a circumstance that will just bring about total chaos. I mean chaos that you cannot believe. And then when it happens, Christians, professing Christians, who are shallow Christians, will even question God. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this man did that. Got to remember, Donald Trump is not a mature Christian. I've got 40 years of Christianity under my belt. I've got 40 years of Bible study. I've got accumulatively several years in fasting alone, hundreds of days. And I don't say that to be braggingly, but just 10 years at 21 days a year is 210 days. We don't understand the spiritual battle that's taking place. God's king, King David, did what God told him not to do. The devil provoked him. I just can't get away from this for some reason. I feel like there's going to be a provocation. I feel in my spirit a provocation. And the provocation will probably be over something stupid. I said, firing this special counselor, and the president has all the constitutional powers to do it. To do it. He won't be breaking the law because he has the power. He has the power to do it. But the devil is a master at provocation. He always has, and he always will try to provoke. And here's the sad thing. He'll provoke the godly. David was a godly man. God's anointed. He was the one that God chose as a little boy, 12 years old or so. And Samuel anointed him with the cruse of oil. He was God's chosen, God's elect. Now the word provoke, now the Bible said, let me quote it again, I'm just about out of time. 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. It means to prick. He stimulated David. He seduced David. He enticed David. He moved David. He persuaded David to do what God said, do not do. Here's the problem with our humanity. Listen to me. Here is the problem with our humanity. We can be provoked. We can be enticed. We can be lured into doing something that we should not do. Listen, I'm a Christian. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God. I'm spirit-filled, but I am still a man. I can be provoked to do the wrong thing. And if I don't keep my body in subjection, 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, but I keep my body under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. But I keep under my body and bring it, my body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I got provoked like I hadn't been provoked in 10 years at the airport when I went to Dallas a few weeks back. A guy tried to break line and separate me and my wife, and he throwed his garbage on that little trolley thing where you put your billfold, you put your belt, you put your shoes. He tried to get between me and my wife. He told me, he said, you go on. And man, I'm standing there, and the first thought that came to my mind was, how am I going to take him down? I'm a man. I'm not going to lie to you. I said, you're not getting between me and my wife. And my wife was going through the magnetometer, and they kept telling her to walk through because she forgot she left her phone in her pocket. And he throwed his stuff around and got in front of me and said, go on. I said, I'm not going on because they're not through with her. And I felt my blood pressure going. It was already above my eyebrows. And my carnal thought was, how am I going to take him down? I'm not some goody two-shoe preacher and sit here and tell you, oh, I'm so sanctimonious, I'm so Holy Ghost filled, I don't ever have a bad thought. I already knew. I knew I was going to trip him and put him on his back and get on top of him and whatever. You say, Brother Langford, I can't believe you'd think like that. Don't sit there and act sanctimonious to me. You've thought about stuff like that. This is my wife. You're not going to separate me and my wife in an airport. I said, sir, you better stop right now and you better stand behind me. And God forbid, I told him, I said, God forbid you touch me, sir. You're not getting past me. And I was standing there, and I know the scriptures. God, I'm trying to be provoked to do something. Let me tell you something. Satan, and this is a word for somebody. I know what I'm talking about. This whole program has been anointed in a different way today. I'm giving somebody a word. The devil's going to provoke you so quickly. It's going to be like a child running up to a balloon with a pen and pop it. And if you're not careful, that provocation will hurt you more than you can ever imagine, and you may not get over it. Now, I know in my heart I had done nothing wrong. I'm just standing there like a cattle in a herd being herded through a corral. But this guy throws his backpack and his stuff in front of me and is trying to push me through. I said, I can't go through. My wife can't get cleared to go, you know, to let her finish going through. Yes, my thought was, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to take this guy down? Because I'm not going to be beat up, beat on. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. I was not even, I was just standing there, Not, I'm a happy guy. Everything's great. But then sudden provocation. And Satan stood up against Israel. Listen to this. Listen to the words here. He stood up against the nation, but he used one man to create the provocation. He stood up against Israel. Satan is going to stand up against America because America has stood up for Israel. But he uses one man, an individual, to provoke, to make God disgruntled or make God angry. The one man hurt the whole nation. I hope you're getting this. Satan will create one circumstance with one individual to affect multitudes. You've heard me say this when you make this statement. My sin isn't hurting anybody but me. Well, tell those 70,000 men that died when David disobeyed God. Tell them that sin does not affect other people's lives. Their sin affected, or David's sin affected their lives eternally for some. It could have been bad, could have been good. If they were redeemed, no problem. If they were lost, terrible problem. You may want to listen to this program again. Please pray. Please pray. God, don't suffer a provocation in our nation. Please, please, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, do not suffer our nation into a provocation, because I know in my spirit it'll be terrible. It will be terrible. We love you. Pray for us. Again, pray for my wife. Pray for her mother. It's a burdensome thing. And I've been here trying to burn both candles at the end of the ministry. So please pray. Thank you. We love you. And I mean that. And thank you for loving me. Thank you for listening to the gospel which we preach. In Jesus' name.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.